Good morning.
Dave was talking about earlier about sometimes on Father's Day you get kind of a tough message, but I was thinking the same thing. I left the good message at home, the one that was positive and uplifting, so I didn't have time to go get it. So I'm afraid we're stuck with the one that's kind of tough on us. But seriously, at the end, I have some encouraging things to say at the end of the message for our fathers. First of all, I'd like to just say thankfully for my Heavenly Father, for His love for me and for sending His Son, Jesus Christ, and also for my earthly father for raising me in a Christian home and sacrificing so much for me. The title of today's lesson, or what I'd like to say to y'all that God's put on my heart, is what does the Bible say that will help us to be godly fathers? And I just think it's a awesome privilege that God gives us children, that they're gifts from Him, and that it's a big responsibility, but it's an honor being able to raise children. And hopefully, through what I say today and what the Lord's laid on my heart, that we can all be better fathers. First, I'm going to just tell you what we're going to go over. Number one, realize that children are a blessing from God. Number two, teach our children God's Word. Number three, and I think this one's important, very important, love our wives like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it in front of our children. Number four, instruct children, but do not provoke them to wrath. And number five, the Bible has a lot to say about this one, discipline our children out of love for them. And then I want to finish up number six to talking about honoring our fathers. So this is what I want to go over this morning. If you will, I'm going to be moving around, so if you can keep up in the Bible. If not, then that'll be fine. You can just listen as we go. If you'll turn to Psalms 127:3, the first one is realizing that children are a blessing from God. Psalms 127, verse 3. It says here, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." So we can see here that we have a lot of people here, a lot of fathers here that evidently are very happy, because we have several here that their quivers are full of children, and how that is a blessing to see the amount of children that the Lord has blessed us with here at Reedsville Bible Chapel, and just to be able to see them and how they're growing up and asking for prayer requests and their love for the Lord and seeing little ones get saved. It's a blessing from the Lord to have these children. Okay, you don't have to turn to this one, just one verse. Genesis 33:5 says, "And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, Who are those with thee?" This is Esau talking to his brother Jacob. And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." So we see here another example of God giving children to us. Then if you will, turn over to Mark chapter 10. And what I noticed here is I wanted to show that how much Jesus loved the little children. I remember when I was growing up in church, we used to sing about Jesus loving the little children. And this is a story I think they got that song from, Mark chapter 10, verse 13. "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them." So we see that Jesus, of course, loved little children. He loved to have them come unto him. He was not too busy for them. He took time out to bring them up, and he even used them as example of our faith in Christ as like a child, a simple childlike faith, trusting in him. And he was willing to take them up into his arms, and he blessed them. And how wonderful that is to have, we don't have Christ here physically, but when our children come to him as Savior, as their Savior, and he blesses them with eternal life, what a wonderful day that is. Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. This is talking about here about grandfathers, and we have some grandfathers here, that children's children are crown of old men. How wonderful it is. You can see grandparents, when the grandchildren come into the house, their eyes just light up when they get to spend time with them. And that's also a blessing, having grandparents that love your children and want to spend time with them and teach them about the Lord. Then if you will, turn to Psalm 139. Thinking here about children, blessing from God. Psalm 139. Our brother Sam talked about this in our prayer request time, about our country and about how there many people are using murder for convenience as far as the little ones. And here we can see that God is, of course, furious with that, and that we see here that life begins at conception. Psalms 139:13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So we see here in this passage that God knew us when we were in our mother's womb, that he was forming us in our mother's womb, that he already had our days planned out, and he loved us even at that point. And so through these verses here, I can see that having children is a blessing. It's a gift from God, and I'm thankful that God has given me two wonderful children. I just thought, try to think of a little personal thing with each one of these. One of the most special things to me about thinking about children is when they're little, or even now, sometimes they say, Daddy, come check on me. Daddy, come check on me. That's what Jen and Jacob say before they go to bed. And just going in there, and sometimes I'm working on something or maybe too lazy to get up. And when I get in there, they've already fallen asleep. And just watching them sleep is just, for something about that, is a blessing to me, just watching them at peace and at sleep, and they're in the care of God. Okay, the second one I'd like to think about. So the first one is realize that children are a blessing. That's the first thing as fathers. We need to realize that they're a blessing from God, a gift from God. The second one I would like to cover, talk about, is teach our children God's Word. Teach our children God's Word. If you will, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We realize, I think, a lot of times that when we get things, maybe material things like money and things like that, that we're stewards. But sometimes maybe we don't think of that as much when we talk about our own children. But really, that's what we are. We're stewards of these little children. And it's hard to believe how, but God loves our children more than we do. And if that's the case, that we know that they're gifts from God, and we know that he loves them more than we do, then we need to teach them what he has in his word for them. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. We see here that it's very specific, that God is instructing the Israelites to make sure that the children know, teach them diligently, not just haphazardly, but teach them diligently His Word, His commandments. Not just, it's great to be here, and it's important to be here, to have your children here at Sunday school, Sunday morning, Wednesday evening. We have a new class that a lot of the ladies had a burden for, to come and teach our children, young children. And those are wonderful things, but also God is wanting us to do it at home, especially us men, I believe, as leaders in our homes. We need to take time to read His Word and instruct it to our children. Let them know that God's Word is important to us, and hopefully they'll learn that as an example. Then just quickly in Joel 1:2 and 1:3, "Hear these, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even the days of your fathers? Tell ye of your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children another generation." And I'm thankful that my generations, by the grace of God, were Christians. My grandparents taught my parents, and then my parents taught me, and then I'm teaching my children. And a lot of times that's the way it is, and I'm not sure why God gave me Christian parents, but I'm thankful for it. And so we have a responsibility as fathers to continue telling our children about this particular thing. Was actually when God was in judgment toward the people of Israel here. We can remind them about the wickedness. Our country, we've talked about that, is in a wicked situation. And we can teach them about the story of Noah, how God judged the people there. We can tell of His power. But we also need to tell them about the love of Christ and how He has come to save souls and not to destroy them. So we're just thankful for what our parents, our grandparents have taught us, and we have a responsibility to tell our children. Over in Psalm verse 78, starting with verse 2. Psalm 78, starting with verse 2. "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." So here again we see an example of teaching your children. They teach their children about the Word of God and about God. We see in the last verse that a lot of times we as fathers make mistakes. The Israelites, we see time and time again that they make mistakes. God brings them back. They make a mistake. God judges them, brings them back. And so here we are seeing the commandment here that to not be as their fathers. Some of their fathers had disobeyed, and He's asking to remember what the Lord has done, to remember to teach your children the love of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord. And then to finish up with this section about teaching our children God's Word, Psalm 119, verse 9. And this is one, I'm a high school math teacher, and I see this at school. We just had graduation yesterday, and this would be a good passage of Scripture to put on a graduation card. Psalm 119:9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in the precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." So we can see here as a young man, as a father, we can teach our children that the way they can keep pure and to keep from sinning against the Lord is to just saturate, concentrate, focus on the Word of God, memorize Scripture, read Scripture, but not just reading it like in your mind, but let it soak into their hearts. Let it go into their hearts and make a change from the inside out. And then that will be a way where they can cleanse their ways and stay away from sin. I just want to read a poem right here. And I know a lot of the fathers here do this, and it's something that that I do at times, but I want to do more of it, is taking time out to just go in and read God's Word with my children on a consistent basis, where it can make a difference for their lives. And the title of this is When Father Reads the Book, capital B, by G.E. Foster. When we hurry off to work, I'm reminded of those early times when Father read the book. When Father read the book, as we each our places took round the dear old family altar, when Father read the book. Oh, those dear old Bible stories, psalms that flowed like rippling brook, warnings, promises, and precepts lived as Father read the book. As Father read the book, Satan's kingdom round us shook, and our Savior early claimed us because Father read the book. Oh, they say it was old-fashioned, and what a waste of time would look to now take a half an hour to let Father read the book. But as Father read the book, blessed thought in our minds stuck, and the day went so much better just cause Father read the book. Oft I'm troubled as I journey on toward heaven with upward look to see families all about me grow up without Father's book. Let Father read the book. Your home will be so different if your Father reads the book. And I think that's just a challenge to all of us that, and we have so many examples here, and I appreciate the example that y'all have set for me on how important God's Word is and how important it is to read it daily for ourselves and for our family. Okay, so number one, realize that children are a blessing from God. Since we know they're a blessing and they're given to us and we're stewards over them, we need to teach our children God's Word. Number three, and I think this one a lot of times gets overlooked, and I can see it in school. Like I said, I'm a high school math teacher. You can almost see when this is not being done in your classroom. You can tell the ones that are having troubles at home. And this one is about loving our wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So, if you will, turn to Ephesians 5:22. Ephesians 5:22. And if we have time at the end, I'm going to read a couple of things, and you can see in people's lives how important this is. Basically, to know that their daddy loves their mama and their mama loves their daddy, and nothing's going to change that. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Just from seeing this at school, seeing this in people's lives, seeing this in my own children's lives, when Lisa and I are spending time together, praying together, really have a solid, good, kind relationship with each other, then I'm a better daddy and Lisa's a better mother. When we maybe have strife or arguing and things like that, then you can almost sense the tension, and then that goes into how I'm a father and how she's a mother. So I think this is one that I think, like I said, is overlooked, but it's very important that we really love our wives as fathers, as the men in the house, that we really love our wives so much, and that gives the children a sense of confidence and stability when they see that in the home. So I would just encourage all of us, especially me, it's on my anniversary, to really love our wives, and not just on your anniversary like me today. Sometimes I can focus on one day and do a pretty good job, but then the other 364 days I have a little bit of trouble with. So I've got to be able to extend that and just make it a daily part, just let her know how much I love her and let the children see that, because I know that that will make such a difference for them. And it's also honoring to the Lord. It shows them an example of Christ in the church. Okay, so we talked about children are a blessing, teaching children, our children God's word, loving our wives as Christ loved the church. The next one is instruct children, but do not provoke them to wrath. Okay, I've got several different verses here, so it's going to be jumping around. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So instruct your child when he's young, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, sometimes they will, I believe, when they get to a certain age. Sometimes a lot of them go to college and things, and they may, for a moment, turn. It seems like turn, but if they are truly born again, the Lord works in the heart, keeps them close to himself, and I just believe that once the Holy Spirit is in their heart, that we know that the Lord is capable of keeping them. And that's hard when we let them go. I haven't experienced this yet, but I can imagine it. When they get old enough to leave the nest and they're out on their own and you're not sure, maybe, did I do enough? Did I do what I was supposed to do? And we just have to remember that we trained them up in the way he should go, and then God's going to keep them and trust him with them. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about the neck. And this, maybe you could say, is more for the children, but I thought it was important as us as fathers. My son, hear the instruction of the father. So we're supposed to be giving instructions to them, guiding them, and letting them know in the things of the Lord and in just daily things on how to be a man, on how to live a good Christian life, on how to treat people. We need to instruct them. Proverbs 7:1 says, my son, keep my words and lay up commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the table of thine heart. So this is a father talking to his son, and he's asking him to lay up his commandments, to remember them, to tie, like a tie or a string around. If you're like me, you forget. And look down and remember the instructions given to you by your father. And hopefully it was what he learned from our Heavenly Father. And then about the provoking, Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nature, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And sometimes I think I'm guilty of this, maybe too hard on my children, especially for some reason. Jenna, I'm not sure why. I'm the oldest child. She's the oldest. I'm not sure if that's what it is to do with, but I've been praying about having more patience, especially what comes to mind is when I'm helping her with math work. And I've been working all day helping 80 or 85 children on math, and then when my little girl gets home, then all of a sudden it's like a different person. I lose all my patience, and that's not good. So I'm just praying that the Lord will give me more patience with her when I'm trying to help her on things, and in that way she'll want to come to me and ask me questions if I'm kind and considerate to her. So that's one thing that I've dealt with myself, is to provoke not your children to anger. Some other things, I haven't done this, thankfully, but I've heard it. Parents telling their children, well, you'll never amount to anything, or you're not as good as your sister, or you're not as smart, or you're not as beautiful. And I can't even imagine saying that, but these are the things that people that I deal with at school, they hear this type of stuff at home on a pretty regular basis, and they get provoked to anger. So I just encourage us to love our children. We're going to see here that doesn't mean to not discipline them. We've got to discipline them, as we'll see in just a second. But it's not to, the words, I think, hurt more than anything else. If you discourage them with words, say something that's hurting them, that can sting their heart, and it'll stay with them for the rest of their life. So we have to be careful what we say and try to encourage our children, not provoke them to anger. We don't want to discourage them. Okay, so one was realize that they're a blessing, teach them God's word, love our wives as Christ loved the church, instruct them but don't provoke them. But then we're going to see that discipline is important. If you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the title of this little section that I gave is Discipline Children If You Love Them. Discipline your children if you really love them. Then you're going to be willing. It's hard to do. Sometimes you want them to have fun. You want them to like being around you. So sometimes you may say, "Well, if I do this, then they're not going to like me, or maybe they're not going to love me." But as we can see, God instructs us to, and I believe if we're faithful to God's word, that even though they may not understand it at the time, they'll understand that it was for their best in the future. 2 Timothy 3:1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves," and this could be writing about our generation right now, "covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers," and this is the part that got my attention, "disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." And we have a lot of wonderful young people here. And you can see that y'all have taken the time to instruct them, to teach them God's word, because they go out, they obey you and do what you ask them to do. Sometimes at school, I can tell that they were not raised in that type of family. I'm not saying it's a majority. I'm at a wonderful school, Rockingham County High School, and there are a lot of Christians there, and I'm thankful for that. But there are still a lot other ones that are not. And you can tell when you ask someone to do something, they've got to always come back at you like, "Why this?" or "I was doing this." They can never just say, "Yes, sir." And you can tell the difference on ones that are obedient to their parents. So this is a passage here in 2 Timothy that kind of shows the way that our country, our generation is going. I'm afraid there are more students that are not obeying their parents, that are harder to control now than when I started teaching like 17 or 18 years ago. There is a difference. So we're not headed really in the right direction as far as that's concerned. So this is an encouragement to us to be examples of Christian parents. So hopefully others can see that and try to discipline their children. All right, now to the discipline part, Proverbs 23:13. "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell." Now this one pretty much puts it very plain. If you love them, then you are going to discipline them. I think this shows here, I know this is not popular nowadays as far as spanking or whipping and things like that, but I think it shows here in God's word that you can either correct them, discipline them now, then they'll have a heart to be obedient to God. If you say, well, I don't want to do that, I don't want to correct them, I'm going to let them, just their personality, just to come out, however it comes out, then they're not going to have a heart to submit to the Lord. So I think it's very important. And then we see, if they don't have a heart for the Lord to submit, that is giving them over to Satan, because they don't have a heart to obey. They don't want to submit to anyone. They don't want to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here it's pretty simple. If you correct them, then that is going to prepare them to submit their lives to the Lord. If you don't correct them, then they're not going to have a heart that's going to be submissive and give their lives to the Lord. So that's very stern warning here, I think. Proverbs 29:17 says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And I can't think of we've been talking today about God the Father and God the Son, and how God the Father was pleased with his son on him going to the cross and obeying, doing what he said. His whole, God the Son's whole existence here on earth was to please and give honor to the Father. And how much pleasure that gives to God the Father. He said, I'm well pleased with his son. And I can think of the times, and thankfully it's been more times than not, that my children have done things that have made me happy, that have pleased me, and that they've done things that have given me joy. So I'm thankful for that. They're not perfect by any means, but I'm thankful for the children that I have, and that they've been a delight to my soul. And then Hebrews 12:5, we're going to have to speed up a little bit. And it says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? It's kind of understood that fathers are going to chasten and discipline their children. Be without chastisement, wherefore all partakers that you are illegitimate sons and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be subjected unto the Father of our spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So here God's using an example that God, fathers are to discipline their children. He's saying that he's going to discipline us as his children if we have trusted in Christ as our Savior, that we're children of God. He's going to discipline us as well. And that's one way that we can tell we're true believers, is that he is going to take us through trials and he's going to discipline us. So here it's an understood thing that we are as fathers to discipline our children. As an example, God also disciplines us. Here's an example. I'm sure I've heard it before, but it's been a long time and maybe I've forgotten. Story in 2 Kings chapter 2, where I believe, it doesn't go into specifics, but I believe these children were not disciplined as children, or either they rebelled against it. I can't say for sure which one, but it's very serious. 2 Kings 2:19, and the men of the city said to Elijah, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, and my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. Bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth into the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elijah, which he spake. Okay, here's the verse that I want to get to, 2 Kings 2:23. And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. So these children were coming out. And I'm on my way of getting bald myself, but they were going out and telling Elijah, bald head, and from what I read, that wasn't something to be proud of back then, as of today sometimes. People get on me sometimes and say, you're headed, all the Moors basically get bald pretty young, and whenever I'm sitting down, I have like a big bald spot right here on the top. And my cousin, he's already bald, so I don't know why he jokes about it. But he says, you're getting bald, and he like makes a big deal out of it. And so here I was thinking about that, but thinking about mainly here these children making fun of this prophet of the Lord, which is not a joking thing. It's a serious thing here. And it was so serious that Elijah sent a curse from the Lord, and two bears came out of the woods and killed 42 of these young men that were being disrespectful and mocking Elijah. And to finish up this section, Proverbs 3:11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So fathers, if we delight, if we love our children, we're going to correct them. We're going to discipline them. Sometimes it's hard to do, and it's hard to do on a consistent basis. We get home and we're tired, and sometimes we don't want to deal with it. It's easier just to let them go on or let their mother deal with it, things like that. But we as men, leaders of the household, we need to stand up when we see something that's wrong against the Word of God or being disrespectful to their mothers. We need to stand up and correct it on a consistent basis, not get too tired, not overlook it, but stand up and correct it. Okay, we've talked about children being a blessing, teaching God's word to our children, loving our wives like Christ loved the church, instructing children but not provoking them, and disciplining our children. I want to end up on this is just for our brother Dave, on a positive note. Ephesians 6:2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Only commandment with a promise is repeated in the New Testament. And we need to honor our fathers. We've been talking mostly about us, myself being a father, and many of y'all in the audience are fathers. But also, some of us here, all of us at one time or another, even if they're not with us, and the ones that have, whose fathers have gone on, I would encourage you to thank the Lord for your fathers and try to remember the good things, the wonderful things about your father on this day. I know that could, my father's still living. I'm thankful for that. Lisa's father passed away a few years ago. And sometimes this day can be very hard when you're thinking about your father and he's not with you. But especially if he's a believer, he's in a better place and you're going to get to see him again. So that's an encouragement to you. I was trying to think of something encouraging to leave you with, and I went through and I found some tributes. I'm not going to have time to read all of them. I'll just pick one of these. I think I'm going to try this one. This was a tribute written by Stan Harrison. It's just one that I found looking through on the computer. I think it was Family Life. And it says, moving beyond blame. Now, I've been blessed with a Christian father who has sacrificed a lot for me. Some people may have not had a father like I did. And this is to encourage you. Some people have a wonderful Christian father. Some people may have a father that is not a Christian that abused them. And probably a lot of people have them in between. But I just want to give this example. And maybe it'll give you an example to tell your father how much you appreciate him and honor him. It says, moving beyond blame, to appreciate the tribute which Stan Harrison wrote for his father, you need to know a little of that family's history. As Stan says, I grew up hating my father. Ed Harrison was an alcoholic and physically abused his wife. We always walked on eggshells, waiting to see how Dad would respond to us when we walked in. Now I'm going to skip down on a lot of stuff. Then it picks up, on Christmas Day, after all the gifts had been opened,
Stan, the son, had his son give one last package to Ed, who was the grandfather. Dad opened it up and said, "What's this?" I told him I'd written something to him and I'd like to read to him. So he's going to read it in front of his father. In front of his brothers and their family, Stan read through the tribute. It was one of the few times he saw his father cry. When he was finished, Ed gave him a hug and said, "That's the most wonderful gift I've ever received in my whole life." A few days later, Stan visited his father and was surprised to find the tribute hanging on the wall in his home. That's what impressed me the most. For a 60-year-old man to put a picture on a wall so quickly showed me that it was very valuable to him. And here's the tribute. "I remember as a child watching you as you worked, skillfully fit shoes onto the feet of children of all ages, sizes, and colors. They all adored you like Santa Claus as you made them feel loved and important when you played with them and squeaked their noses or toes and gave them a gentle hug. You were a master salesman. I loved to hear them affectionately call you Mr. Ed at the store. As I grew older, I began to resent you and emotionally started to pull away from you, mostly out of selfishness, immaturity, confusion, anger, and fear. We have had many opportunities in the past few years to discuss these feelings that were created by your alcoholism abuse and emotional neglect, but very few words were ever spoken about my positive childhood memories. Instead of just blaming you for the past, it is now time for me to thank you and give you honor, because it was all of my past, both the positive and negative moments, which molded together to make me the person I am today. I finally remember numerous pre-dawn fishing trips to Silver Lake. I love climbing into the rowboat and using the black fishing pole with the red stripes as you would row us around the lake all morning. I love seeing the mist rise from the water's glass-like surface, the majestic view of the mountains at daybreak, and drinking hot cocoa back at the Docks Cafe that had Red Fox as a pet. We always caught our limits with the help of triple teasers. I now appreciate the sacrifices you made both financially and in the lack of sleep to always ensure a magical Christmas morning. We never went without. Santa was always very generous. The thought of you making red and green pancakes still make me laugh inside. I get dizzy just thinking about the space capsule ride that you brought home from Trevani's. It looked like a huge orange donut. Steve and I would get inside that thing and spin around all day. It's a miracle we survived. You were and still my favorite golf pro. I remember caddying for you and Ralph Trevani many Saturday mornings. I was proud of you after each tournament you won. Each trophy seemed so tall to little me. I remember the time you came to Lakewood General Hospital after I had an accident and almost ripped off my left arm. I felt safe having you and Mom by my side. I needed you and you were there. I can vividly recall the pride in your eyes when I shot my first buck. That was indeed a very special day for both of us. Thanks for sacrificing your Remington 6.5. It is my most prized possessions, which contains many special memories of being up in the hills with you. You gave me special appreciation for the outdoors, more than just hunting and fishing, but the ability to enjoy a beautiful view, the sound of a river, the breeze blowing through the trees, and colors of autumn. Whether we are all the Hamahama River, Silver Lake, National Bay Lake, or the Rocks or Lightning Ridge, you helped me take time and really see the great gift God created for our enjoyment. You taught me through example to honor and respect my elders, to establish a strong work ethic, and to complete a task with excellence. You are a man of your word. Many of these qualities are best exemplified by your ongoing recovery since you started at Sundown M Ranch to help him with his alcohol problem. I want to thank you for never divorcing Mom. The 39 years that you stayed together were tough on both of you. This set an example that is priceless in our world of easy outs. Thanks for staying committed to her until the end of her life. I know that you both really did love each other, even though it seemed impossible at times. I'm proud of how you have grown spiritually and emotionally in the past few years. You are now developing a positive legacy for your 4 sons and 10 grandchildren. I've recently enjoyed developing a healthy one on one relationship with you that I pray will continue to develop even more with time. You are a fantastic grampy, and I rejoice to see my kids love and adore you. You make them feel loved and important, just as you did other people's children when you were Mr. Ed years ago. I love you, Dad, Stan." So all of us could think back and think of little stories that we could say to our fathers, and I encourage you to try to remember them and tell your parents, tell your fathers, how much you love them, how much you care about them, and let's honor them today. Let's close in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for being the best father of all that loved us. We talked about this morning in the worship. We don't understand how you could love us so much to sacrifice your own son on the cross for us, but we thank you for loving us that much. It's love unbounded, and we thank you for that. Help us to see you as an example, as our Heavenly Father. We can never be perfect, but help us to strive to be like you, to have that type of love and care. Help us to realize that they're blessings, our children are blessings from you, and help us to teach them your word and train them up, but help us not to provoke them. Help us to discipline our children because we love them. And help us, if we still have fathers here living, help us to let them know how much we appreciate them, how much we love them, how much we care about them, and tell them that we thank them for doing those little trips, those little things that maybe they can't remember or don't think of, but meant so much to us because we still remember them today. Help us to honor them. And in doing that, because you told us, we can honor you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.